and I was without my AirPods for about 3, maybe even 4 days. I did eventually find them. Somehow one of my kids got a hold of them. I found one AirPod in the basement, one upstairs, and then I found the charging case in the dryer. Most importantly, they are functioning. They do work. Maybe not as well, but I'll tell you what, those Comply Foam earbud tips, those held up great, and they have felt great, and having them back makes me feel so much better.
Well, not only do you mentally feel so much better, your ears are going to thank you because they don't have to go buy some new AirPods, which will have the silicone tips on them, which will cause you ear pain. I remember that for so many years of my life. Or the constant adjusting or pushing into your ear while doing anything besides sitting on your keister. So what I want you to do is this. Luke's got the AirPods. I've got Beats Pro, whatever they may be, especially as we're coming up here on the holiday season and you're thinking to yourself, what could I buy for my son or daughter, say, under the age of 35? I can guarantee you that they have wireless earbuds. And you want to know what you can do? You buy them these memory foam tips. Memory foam, so they're not getting ear pain. They're not constantly adjusting them. So go to complyfoam.com, a local Minnesota company that wants to help you find what your son or daughter has. And then when you get to checkout, promo code GG23 and save 20% today. That is complyfoam.com. And when you get the checkout, promo code GG23 to save 20% on your order.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to sweet November, where your Golden Gopher football squad is in the thick of it still in the Big Ten West, sitting at 3-2 in the Big Ten with a multitude of different teams, Mr. Luke Buer, including getting to face another Big Ten West team this weekend in a 3-5 Illinois team. But Luke, if I'm going to say it once, I'm going to say it 100 times on this podcast. Did you know that Brett Bielema has never lost to the University of Minnesota? He is 9-0 in his career, 7-0 for the Wisconsin Badgers, and 2-0 for the Illinois Fighting Illini.
You know, I did know that. I also know that he follows a card whenever he plays Minnesota. So if you're back to the Brewster years, you might remember that. That was a great line. Yeah, I do recognize that Minnesota has never beaten Brett Bielema as a head coach. So I think it's about time that we try to exercise some more demons there, Ryan Burns.
If there was ever a time, I would tell you, I think it would be a year like this where nothing in the West makes sense. Every team is the same, except they're not the same. They all have the same issues until they don't. It is truly something to behold. And if I'm also going to clarify something, because I've got a lot of angry people at me on both social media and on Gopher Illustrated about this. Apparently, I have truly been looking at the Big Ten West tiebreakers very incorrectly. And if I have one more person remind me that I shouldn't be having people think that Nebraska needs to win one of the final two against Wisconsin or Iowa for Minnesota to have a shot, because I think a lot of people now are beginning to be very worried about the Nebraska Cornhuskers potentially running out, including the man who's putting his children to bed right now, Justin Gard. But I think the larger point here is, I know we just started the month of November, Luke, but as long as Minnesota just takes care of business, which it shouldn't be the assumption, by the way, if you've watched any Gopher football game at any point this year, but if they can go 3-1 in games they'll probably be favored in, which is this week, which they are favored slightly, next week against Purdue on the road, and then at home against Wisconsin, which we'll see who's healthy for Wisconsin at the end of the season here. If you just go 3-1, you're going to give yourself a heck of a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. you can only control what you can control, right? So at the end of the day, you got to do the best you can with the remaining schedule. I think most everyone would assume that the Ohio State game is a loss, and I think that's a fair assumption with everything we know to date. And so you just got to take care of what you can take care of, and that's those three games that could be in the coin flip variety, as we alluded to in the season preview, Ryan. I think all of these at this point are coin flips.
I also want to wish you a congratulations, happy Tom Allen Day for you.
Thank you.
As it is officially, Tom Allen is the same record I thought he was going to be heading into the season. One of Luke and my preseason bets was I didn't think Tom Allen was going to make it past Halloween. And it turns out while you were out trick-or-treating last night, I'm sure that candy tasted awfully good, knowing that Tom Allen's $20 million buyout was something I certainly overlooked, and now I owe you coffee.
But I do have to admit, Ryan, we didn't touch on this in the breakdown for Michigan State, but I had a really audacious bet with you that I set the line to the Michigan State-Minnesota game at 55 points preseason. It definitely hit the under on that, and I took the over, so... So I think actually your coffee has been repaid with one, and there will be no coffee exchanged.
That's the beauty of a little coffee bet between the co-hosts, right?
Yeah.
We'll figure it out at the end of the season who owes what. I'm just hoping to be a little bit up ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So we probably should get into kind of the injury report. Obviously, Cody Lindenberg was back for the Gophers against Michigan State. That was something that we looked at, basically throughout the year. I imagine he should be back again for Illinois. I didn't see any reason that he wouldn't be. And obviously, he's a welcome addition back. Might be on a snap count. But the other ones, obviously, Darius Taylor, Zach Evans. There are a number of other injured players. It's November, may I remind you. So there is no team absent of bumps and bruises and injured players. But what are some things we should try and keep an eye on before the all but certain two-hour report that will clarify everything?
Oh, I suppose we'll start at running back, where I'm cautiously optimistic that Minnesota gets back one of Darius Taylor or Zach Evans for this game. Now, don't quote me on that, but I'm cautiously optimistic from what I've heard here early in the week to the middle of the week that maybe one of them is progressing towards playing. We'll see if that's true. We'll see if that's not. I would also say we don't know anything more on Justin Wally, Minnesota's best outside corner, made a tackle near the line of scrimmage in the second half last week, did not return. We haven't heard anything about what that injury may be. I would say the little I have heard, and again, don't quote me on this, is potentially concussion protocol, but we have seen players pass the concussion protocol depending on the severity of the concussion, which we don't know if it's a concussion or not. So that is the beauty of PJ Fleck, is with this 2 hour before injury report, he doesn't have to say anything, nor should anybody expect him to. With Cody Lindenberg, we got to talk to him today. The media did. And we also talked to Joe Rossi about it. And it was interesting to kind of hear Cody detail. I flat out asked him, I go, all right, lay out what happened in fall camp to where we are now as best you can. And it's very clear to me that these Gopher players have been coached up from their side that let's not give the media anything about injuries ever. So Cody goes, I suffered a lower body injury a couple days before the end of fall camp. And then we got into the season. I was working on it. And then something else happened. And then I started playing. And I'm like, my goodness. Why does it? I just don't understand when you're fully healthy now why you can't give any details about it. But who am I to judge? It's his news to share. I get it. Okay. But bottom line is I expect him to play a full complement of snaps this week, which if you'll remember back, Luke, when Cody Lindenberg was playing 39 snaps last week, he rotated at both Mike and Will linebacker for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. When he was playing Mike linebacker, you'll notice number 9, Devin Williams is in the game. When he's playing Will, Maverick Baranowski enters mm-hmm. the game. So I'll be curious to see what Joe Rossi decides for rotation there. And then on the Illinois side of the ball, I'm very curious to see what it looks like on the defensive line. Why? Because the best defensive tackle in the Big Ten, and Johnny Newton, Jerzon Newton, whatever you want to refer to him as, is not going to play in the first half of this game because he suffered a targeting call in the second half before the bye. And that's where he missed the second half against Wisconsin. Wisconsin was able to come back because that defense looked a lot different without a first-round defensive tackle causing havoc. Mm-hmm. Now, Illinois appealed the suspension, and powers that be said, no, he's sitting. So for the first 30 minutes of this game, the best defensive tackle in the Big Ten for Illinois is not going to play. Now, their second-best defensive lineman, Keith Randolph, has been banged up, and he hasn't played quite to the level that a lot of people thought. I believe he was probably going to be a day three pick last year for Illinois on their defensive line if he would have left, decided to come back, and it just has not been the season that many thought because of injury, because of other things, but it sounds like he is going to play in this game. So I'm going to be very curious to see what this Illinois defensive line looks like in the first half and the second half, and to see how much of a noticeable difference there is.
All right. So from the injury perspective, we won't know anything until 2 hours before the game. Hooray. But the other thing, kind of the storyline to keep in mind for the Gophers, now they sit at 5 wins. Obviously getting that 6 is really big in terms of getting a bowl game, getting the extra practice, whatever. Notching another win is obviously big for the program. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't envy Dan Owen, who, if you don't know who Dan Owen is, he sits next to me in the press box for every home game, but he is the official, unofficial Gopher bowl game czar.
All right.
I say that because there is no one on this planet that spends more time thinking about bowl games for Minnesota than Dan. No one has more contacts that I know about in the bowl scene than Dan. No one knows the permutations of who can go to what bowl game each and every year, considering the bowl contracts, than Dan. And that's where he's going to start doing these bowl projections once again for Gopher Illustrated here, probably after this game. And with how everybody's in one big clump still, Luke, I do not envy him until there's further separation, but we got to give people what the people want to, you know?
Got to give some reckless speculation when it comes to bowl games for teams that likely don't even have enough wins. But hopefully the Gophers can get that onto their resume, and they'll be going bowling hopefully after this game, and we'll obviously break that down a little bit more. So anything else before we get to offense? All right, when we take a look when Minnesota is on offense, Ryan, on the season, the Gophers are averaging 314 yards of total offense, 140 through the air, and 175 on the ground. When Illinois is on defense, they're averaging 396 yards of total defense, 235 through the air, and 161 on the ground. So what are the Gophers going to have to do to find success against this Illinois defense?
Well, it would be nice if they actually started fast for once this season, because I believe the statistic is your Golden Gopher football team, Luke Buehr, is the final FBS team to not have scored any points on their opening drive.
It's something we're going to track all year now, isn't it?
Well, considering you are where you are, of course. And that's where you look at those 8 games that Minnesota's played in so far, and you look at those 8 opening scripts. What happened? 4 punts, 3 turnovers, and a turnover on downs. And it's just been a myriad of errors for them to start the year. So with Illinois' best player defensively not playing in the first half, boy, it'd be nice at home in November to finally get any points on an opening drive that you have scripted, that you think are the best plays to be able to, number one, get a look of the opposing defense, but number two, also be able to move the ball down the field and potentially exploit some things. So I would hope that they can finally get off the schneid there in game number 9 with getting some points there. I would also say the other thing I would note is Illinois has been horrible on third down defense.
Yeah.
They are the worst in the Big Ten. They've allowed 46% of third downs to be converted against them. That is, like I said, the worst in the Big Ten. So we'll see how Minnesota can figure out how to move the ball. This is an Illinois defense that runs a 3-4, so a little bit different flavor than what Minnesota has seen here since the bye week. It's an Illinois defense that has thoroughly dominated them, especially in the front 7 the last, I would say, 2 games at least under Brett Bielema. And they are a team that plays a ton of man coverage. And why that's interesting is Illinois' secondary isn't what it was last year. Illinois had three defensive backs taken in the top 70 picks of the NFL draft last year. They haven't been that great back there. Well, they've been okay. They haven't been good enough to be playing as much man coverage as they have. So Minnesota's receivers, looking at you, Daniel Jackson, Corey Crooms, Brevin Spanford, maybe we get to see Elijah Spencer or Chris Ottman-Bell get a target in this game. But Ethan's got to be accurate, and he's got to make sure that these receivers actually have separation as well.
Yeah, the other thing, you highlighted the third down and fourth down success rate. You know, Illinois just really struggles there. That's hopefully something, you know, Minnesota is top, you know, 65 in the country in third and fourth down success rate. But the Gophers have to be good on early downs. They have to be able to get themselves into shorter and more manageable situations on third and fourth down, and then, you know, just continue to sustain drives. Obviously we keep opining for days of explosive plays. I think that probably is just something we shouldn't be talking about anymore, but you'd hope that they can find a way to generate them. But if they can, just sustain those drives and got to convert those to points, and most importantly, Ryan, touchdowns in that red zone.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear Greg Harbaugh when I asked him about it today. You know, you mentioned that the Achilles heel of this offense so far this season has just been getting off schedule too often, with whether it's a missed assignment, whether it's a penalty. And he acknowledged their Achilles heel, like really any Big Ten West offense or college football offense in general, is second and third and long, because they're not good enough right now to really dig themselves out of that hole too often. Now, we did see them last week get three explosive plays in that second quarter with the passing game. I'd love to think that that has a chance of continuing again this week. But to your point, Luke, if they're going to be putting up touchdowns instead of field goals, it'd be nice to actually have them break one, which I don't know what the longest touchdown for Minnesota is this year, but it can't be that long.
Ryan, Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group is here not only to help you buy and sell your home, but they're also helping Dinkytown athletes by giving 1% of the sales price back to them. This is no additional commission. They are taking a part of their commission and giving it to Dinkytown athletes. And you, the buyer or seller, can elect where that money is going to go. It could go to football. It could go to all sports. It could go to volleyball. It could go to women's hockey. It could go to men's hockey. Doesn't matter. It's your choice. So, Ryan, where are the good people going to find Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group?
Well, if they want to sell their house to somebody who already sold one for over $50,000 over asking, I wonder if these people are competent or not. Plus, you want to support Minnesota's NIL efforts, you can go to teamdinkytown.com. You can submit a little questionnaire if you want to do it the millennial way. Or if you want to call them, give them a ring at 612-250-8562.
All right, let's take a look when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Illinois is averaging 365 yards of total offense. 226 of those come through the air, and 193 of those are on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, is giving up 333 yards of total defense. They are giving up 214 yards through the air and 118 on the ground. You may look at the yardage stats, Ryan, and think to yourself, goodness, this offense for Illinois is actually not that bad. The problem is they're only averaging 20.4 points per game, and they're giving up 27.8.
They've just been inconsistent on offense this year, which I suppose should have been expected when they lost Chase Brown, who I think of all the Big Ten West running backs recently, he's maybe the one I have the most affinity for, because he seemingly played his best football against Minnesota, which might as well tell you right now, Luke, when you look back of why did Minnesota lose to Illinois the last 2 years, Chase Brown is within the top three reasons why.
Oh, yeah, no question.
He had 100 yards or more after contact in both of those games. He had 10 forced missed tackles in each one of those contests. Like, he was tremendous. I mean, he set up blocks so well for them. He kept them on schedule. He got tough yards. I mean, he was a huge part of it. And now you look at this Illinois offense this year without your guy, touchdown Tommy DeVito, which...
Yeah, my guy.
Did you see he's now playing for the New York football Giants?
I did see that.
All I can think of anytime I see Tommy DeVito is Luke screaming into the top of my ears, just touchdown Tommy DeVito.
Did you, by the way, did you see somewhere, I think this is on social media, probably Twitter, because that's really the only one I'm on. But some kid had gotten, I think they staged this, but some kid had gotten two Giants football tickets in their Halloween bag. Like someone was like, yeah, we'll just give these out. Who cares about these?
Yikes. Which, golly, New York football Giants. Yeesh. But where I was going with this is now Minnesota gets to face a running back who I don't think they have faced since, in terms of body stature wise, we figured it out today amongst the Minnesota media when I posed the question, since Luke's guy, Xander Horvath.
Oh, wow.
From Purdue.
Yeah.
A few years back.
Yeah.
Meet running back, true freshman, Caden Feagan, who is listed on the online roster website at 6'3", 250 pounds.
That's a big boy.
That is a gigantic boy. That's Derrick Henry light territory.
Yeah.
So it's certainly the biggest running back they've faced to date. Certainly, as you can imagine, at 6'3", 250, a downhill runner. Now, Minnesota stopped the running backs the last couple of weeks. But maybe the biggest key to this game, and I'll touch on it too a little bit later, is Illinois' quarterback, Ole Miss transfer Luke Altmyer. He's been a pretty good – you could argue he's been like the best playmaker amongst the Big Ten West quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But where he is lethal, and if Minnesota loses this game, I can about guarantee we look back and say this is why, he is outstanding with his legs.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about a guy that has, I believe, over 120 more scramble yards than any other Big Ten quarterback, a.k.a. these aren't designed runs. The pocket just breaks down around him, and he gets first downs, and he gets positive yardage with his legs. Now, from talking with some Illinois people, seemingly at times he tries to do maybe a little bit too much. And that's why I believe he's tied for the Big Ten lead in interceptions so far. So if they can keep Luke Altmyer in the pocket, which is a lot easier said than done, because if you take out the sack adjusted, if you just look at sack adjusted rushing numbers, Luke,
mm-hmm.
he's their leading rusher this year.
Like, yeah, that's
truly
wild.
And these aren't designed runs, which maybe they run him a little bit more this week. I'm not incredibly sure. He ran for 100 yards last week in their final game before the bye week. So I don't know how else I can stress this, Luke. If you can just keep Altmyer in the pocket, which is a lot easier said than done, and then shut down the running game, I mean, it's going to become how many catches can their best receiver, Isaiah Williams, have? And then how can you keep them out of the end zone? But stopping the run, both with the running back and the quarterback, is going to be massive in this game.
One thing that sticks out in the advanced stats for me is the offense for Illinois in echo rate is 118th in the country. And the defense for Minnesota in echo rate is top 25 in the country. And just a reminder that your echo rate, an echo is a measure of the quality possession and opportunity creation. So what this is basically saying is Minnesota is good at, you know, not allowing defense to sustain drives and have good opportunities at scoring, versus Illinois is not very good at sustaining drives and being able to create scoring opportunities. And part of that, Ryan, has to do with Illinois in the field position game just is not very good as well in net field position on the season. They rank 131st in net field position in the country. The Gopher defense, again, has been opportunistic this year more than I think they have in any Joe Rossi year that we've seen. I'd have to go to stats to confirm that, but that's just a feeling for me. I don't have any data to support that. Let's see if they can continue that this week.
It's going to be big. I mean, it's going to be big.
Ryan, I think the cold is here to stay. Home field has a bomber jacket, which we've talked about the last couple weeks. I've started to see some photos on social media of those that have already received them. And I'm going to tell you, man, those things look real sharp. And I imagine you're going to see a number of those around Huntington Bank Stadium this coming weekend.
They are nifty. There's something to where if you have a gigantic Gopher football fan or just Gopher fan in your life, and you're thinking to yourself, what can I get them to be a really cool Christmas gift that they would never forget? Go to homefieldapparel.com, go to the top where it says school, find Minnesota, and you're going to be looking at it. It is big, beautiful, and very unique, as are all of these designs. So whether you want to get some sweatshirts here, now that's getting chilly, some sweatpants, all unique designs, stuff that you're not going to find at Goldie's Locker Room. And when you get to checkout, use promo code GG23 for 15% off your first order. That's promo code GG23 at checkout at homefieldapparel.com.
Okay, let's get to the facts and figures for this game, Ryan. Again, this is a 2:30 kick. This is a home game for your University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. It is, again, a 2:30 kick on BTN. The line for this game has been going down, down, down. It is currently Minnesota, a 1.5 favorite with an over-under of 42.5. We should take a quick look here at the weather for Saturday. It looks like it's going to be partly cloudy for that 2:30 kick, about 42 degrees.
So warmer than last week.
Warmer than last week. I would say probably about game end, it'll be about 43. It should go up. It doesn't look like a big chance of rain. And then wind should not be a factor, about 6 miles an hour from the south. I think it should be a good November day of football, if I might say so myself.
People will be able to go deer hunting in the morning, come back in for some lunch, decide if they want to go out in the afternoon or not at deer camp. And if not, flip it on Big Ten Network to watch your Golden Gophers. Now, I will say I have one plea to the Gopher Gridiron Radio masses. If you do indeed or have gone out, because myself, I'm a bow hunter. I don't gun hunt for where I hunt in and around here in the Twin Cities. It's frowned upon, I'll say. So if you have gotten a deer or you will get a deer this weekend, my DMs on the Twitter machine are open. I want to see your deer, celebrate you being able to get one on the ground. I don't care if it's the biggest thing you've seen since Saskatoon or if you just said, you know what, if it's brown, it's down and I got to get some venison in the freezer. I got the DMs open for a reason, folks. So slide on in. I mean, I've made some pretty good friends with random people on Twitter that just love deer hunting. So I'm just here to help celebrate, Luke.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's get to your keys to this game, Ryan. Again, just a reminder that the Gophers sit at 5-3, 3-2 in the conference. This is a big game for them in terms of, getting that monkey off their back in terms of bowl eligibility. That is also always a milestone for this program and good for, the sustained success of some of these younger guys getting the extra practice, right? And again, controlling your own destiny and a chance to, maybe have an opportunity to win the final year of the Big Ten West. So what are your keys to this game?
My key offensively for Minnesota is to finally start fast. Now, I know that Greg Harbaugh's offense put up 27 points last week against a quality Big Ten defense in Michigan State, but they have to get off to a better start offensively in November because Minnesota is the lone Power 5 team in all of college football to have zero, count them, 0 points on their opening drive now through the first 8 games of the season. Iowa State was the only other team in that category with them last week, but the Cyclones got some points on their first possession last week against Baylor. So the Gopher offense has 4 punts, 3 turnovers, and 1 turnover on downs to the first 8 possessions of their games. It'd be a great week for them to get points on the opening script, considering Illinois' best player, defensive tackle Jersey, is going to miss the first half of this game because of a targeting call that was upheld over the bye week. He is by far their most disruptive player on defense. He's going to be a first round draft pick in April. So getting off to a quick start must happen when their best player can't be on the field. Now, this Fighting Illini defense differs from what they had last year when they had 3 stud defensive backs who all went in the top 70 picks of the latest NFL draft. Their secondary hasn't been as stout, but neither has their pass rush outside of Newton and hasn't been consistent. And some of that has been their other defensive lineman by the name of Keith Randolph, who had a lot of expectations coming into the year, hasn't been as good. He's also been banged up. He's expected to play in this game, but I would say of the 3-4, I would say the four part, their outside and inside linebackers, also haven't done their part. They've collectively struggled to get pressure because Pro Football Focus ranks them 6th in the Big Ten West in pass rush grade with a 69.7 grade. And within that, Illinois, Luke, has one interception.
Oh, really?
One interception in conference play. That ranks last in the Big Ten. So they're not getting consistent pressure, which isn't helping them generate turnovers. So if you're the Gopher offense here, getting points early against a Brett Bielema team who wants to do the same damn thing you do, establish the run, is enormous. Because if either one of these teams can get a 10-0 lead and force the other one into pass-happy mode, it's probably not going to go well. And we'll get to that here in a second with the Illinois offense. But we'll see if they get Darius Taylor or Zach Evans back for this one. If not, it's going to be another 25-30 carries for Jordan Newbin. But I'm not going to say any more than that because this staff knows they have to go back to the Sean Tyler well if Taylor or Evans can't go. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm well aware that young man has had a lot of issues hanging on to the ball, but you need to give somebody else carries. I'm willing to believe that if the freshman can't go, they're going to have to give it to Tyler and see if they can't get him going in this one. So in the first half, they got to get Ethan going as well without Newton in his face. We need to see that same signal caller from last week's game, the first 30 minutes where he was 13 of 18 for 190 yards in that passing touchdown to Daniel Jackson. He was confident, made some impressive throws, but figuring out a way to start fast for the first time in 2023 is going to be significant if you're going to get off the schneid against Bielema. Now, defensively, my key is going to be make them beat you through the air. Whether it's at Wisconsin, Illinois, we know what a Brett Bielema offense wants to look like. They got mass in the trenches, and they want to establish the run. Now, thankfully for Joe Rossi, Chase Brown's in the NFL now. Their stud running back killed them the last 2 years, had over 100 yards after contact, forced 10 missed tackles in each one of those games. Now, he's not there, and their running game has significantly struggled. But they're going to be, as they have been prior to the bye at least, leaning on their true freshman, Caden Feagan, who the largest running back in the Big Ten at 6'3", 250 pounds. That's Derrick Henry, light type of stature. He'd been their featured back with 19 and 24 carries in each of the previous two games. So in a chilly November game in the low 40s, Minnesota's going to have to do what they've done the last 2 weeks prior or since their bye, I should say, and that's stop the opposing running back. You limited Iowa to 33 running back yards. You limited Michigan State to 49 last week, and that recipe has to remain true for a third straight week. Illinois' quarterback, Luke Altmaier, has been among the better ones in the Big Ten, I would say. He leads Big Ten West quarterbacks with 11 big-time throws. That's a Pro Football Focus statistic. But he's also been turnover prone as he's got nine interceptions, I should say. Now, some of that isn't his fault, which is maybe arguably the biggest key here for Minnesota's defense. The Illinois offensive line has not been good, specifically in pass protection. The Illinois offensive line collectively has a pass blocking grade of 45.6. I'll remind you, 60 as average. So that is the lowest in the Big Ten with their pass blocking grade. Now, within that, because he's had to scramble so much, he's got 435 sack-adjusted rushing yards this year, Luke Altmaier does, Illinois' quarterback. That's second among Big Ten quarterbacks behind Henrik Harburg, who Nebraska just puts on designed runs. But he's got 259 yards off scrambles alone, which is over 100 more yards than the nearest Big Ten quarterback. So not allowing Altmaier to escape the pocket is absolutely massive here. Now, if they do complete passes, it's going to go to their slot receiver, Isaiah Williams. He's having a fantastic season. He's second in the Big Ten in both receptions and receiving yards behind some guy from Ohio State with the last name of, I think it's Harrison Jr. So they're going to try to get Isaiah Williams into space, and where he really shines is after the catch, where he's also second in all of the Big Ten behind that Harrison Jr. fella. So to limit them offensively, shut down Fegan, keep Altmyer in the pocket. And if you do that, you're probably going to have some chances to make plays in the secondary. But if Altmyer can extend drives with his legs, if Isaiah Williams can get explosives with yards after the catch, and Caden Fegan is just running through gophers on a chilly November afternoon, Illinois is going to sit on the ball like they've done the last 2 years, and it's not going to go well. So we're going to see if Joe Rossi can come up big again. But finally, just overall in this game, my last key, you got to win in the trenches against Brett Bielema, and you have to win the turnover margin. Because why has Minnesota lost the last 2 years against Brett Bielema? It's those two things. They have gotten punched in the mouth, mm-hmm. and they haven't been able to respond. And then in the last two games, Luke, Illinois has not committed a turnover, while Minnesota turned it over three times last year, twice in 2021, and all of those turnovers from Minnesota were interceptions. So that can't happen for a third straight year. Now, I'm optimistic here because Minnesota's been playing pretty well up front, specifically
defensive line.
Their defensive line. And this is an Illinois offensive line that hasn't been playing well. They don't have Chase Brown back there. Mm-hmm. But you have to take advantage if you're Minnesota, the Minnesota moving company up front. Johnny Newton is going to wreck you in the second half. It is what it is. So getting off to a quick start, getting a lead into halftime is huge, but you got to punch Illinois in the mouth. You got to punch back against Brett Bielema, and then you can't have multiple turnovers in a game like this.
All right, so let's get to predictions. Before we do that, Ryan, we should remind people what the over-under is here, as well as the spread. So currently, as I see it, with Caesars, the over-under is 42.5, with Minnesota favored by 1.5. If memory serves, I think this open, Ryan, is a 3.5 in favor of Minnesota. So
it's interesting. I don't know what the injury news, or maybe it's just everybody sees that Brett Bielema is 9-0. Minnesota is just okay. Illinois is better than probably 3-5. They should be 4-4.
They've played better of late, but yeah.
I'm very curious to see kind of how this game ends up going, to see if it reflects what Vegas thinks. But why don't you go first with your prediction?
All right. Again, just a reminder, and I got to let you know, Ryan, I had to look back at the stats because something didn't feel right. And I had some data entry errors, which started cascading down. So on the season, against the over under, you are 5-3. Against the spread, you are 4-3-1. I conversely, on the over under, am 2-6, and I am 4-3-1 as well. I am on a 3-game winning streak against the spread of late. Really proud of that, actually. As you know, I don't do this from my day job. So I feel like, you know, three winners in a row.
Yeah. Feels, I see, pretty the good. Excuses already piling up here, Luke Buehr.
Feels pretty good. All right.
Did we say before the season? Do you have that data in front of you?
Yeah, I do. So before the season, you picked this as a loss, 21-13. I also picked this as a loss, 17-13. I'm going to pick Minnesota in this game. I am going to pick them. Let's go. So 42. I will pick them 25 to 21. So I will take.
You're taking a big over.
I'm taking the over. Yeah, I'm taking the over, and probably silly. If you've looked at my record on the over under, don't trust it. But I've done all right against the spread of late. So.
I'll tell you a few other notes before my prediction here. Illinois has been horrendous on third down. They rank last in the Big Ten on defense, as 46.3% of the third downs against them have been converted. While on offense, they're only converting at a 34% clip, which is 13th in the conference. Now, I would also tell you, as I'm rubbing my temples very gently here, Pro Football Focus has special teams being a gigantic mismatch on paper in favor of the Illini here, as the Illini have a Pro Football Focus special teams grade of 89, which is tremendous. Minnesota is dead last in the Big Ten at 59. So I'm very curious to see how this plays out. Now, the one thing I do want to note here, Illinois has the lowest touchback percentage in the Big Ten. Only 35.3% of their kickoffs have gone for touchbacks. I cannot stress to you, Luke, and the listener, how stressed that makes me, because if there's one unit that has been an absolute abomination, it has been the Gopher kickoff return unit all year.
You just got to fair catch it, man. They've been doing that.
I hope and pray to whatever God you look up to that they just wave the right hand for every single thing, because they're going to be baited into it.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, though. You know, at least Parker Fleming has, you know, net field position for Illinois is 131st in the country. Their special teams are so good. I find that interesting. I imagine that's a function of their offense not being particularly good efficient at sustaining drives and efficient. But yeah, that I do find interesting.
I would also tell you that Illinois has got the number one punt return unit in the Big Ten outside. I mean, you could put Isaiah Williams and Cooper DeJean, I think, in the same tier. They've returned 8 punts this year, none for touchdowns, but they're averaging 15.15 yards per return. So I'm a little leery there, man. I'm just going to be straight with you.
That's
so
fair.
Here's where I'm at. Minnesota nor Illinois have been that consistent in 2023, but I'm going to pick the Gophers, and here's why. They're playing better up front.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota's defensive line has done a fantastic job of matching physicality and then escalating it a level higher against teams like Iowa and Michigan State the last 2 weeks. We just watched Minnesota run for 200 yards with their RB5 against the top 20 run defense. So if Minnesota can just not get eviscerated in the turnover margin like they've got the two previous seasons, it should be a low-scoring affair, but I'm going to say Minnesota makes enough plays up front to get over the hump against Brett Bielema for the first time ever against Bielema. Minnesota wins 20-17. That is a Minnesota cover, and that is an under.
It is. It is indeed. So, yeah, so we both have Minnesota covering, but I have Minnesota over, and you have them under. History says you're going to win this one, Ryan. Absolutely. All right, let's get a quick ad, and then we'll talk quickly about the Big Ten games in front of us. Again, longtime sponsor Burns Insurance brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, nobody wants to be paying too much for their insurance for their home, maybe their auto, maybe their UTV, maybe their boat, etc. But they want to make sure that they have the best coverage possible, and that's what Burns Insurance can do for them.
That's the beauty of an independent insurance agency. It doesn't have to be State Farm, Aflac, whatever it may be. If you're not happy with what you've been getting, go with an independent insurance agent who can put you against 20 different insurance companies so you get the best coverage at the best price. My father was just up north visiting with one of his clients, a commercial property that he insures, saved them $8,000 on their premium while upping their coverage. Independent insurance agents are the way to go. So if you want to check them out today, go to insurancebyburns.com or support this gigantic Gopher fan by emailing him at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Ryan, once again, it doesn't look like there are any bye weeks this week in the Big Ten, which means
both we'll have slates for November going forward, me boy.
Yeah, so that means there'll be 7 games. Should be fun, and games are back on Peacock. That's all I have to say.
If there was ever a game to be on Peacock, by the way, it's Iowa versus Northwestern at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I do find that kind of funny. So let's get into this. Let's start with the Big Noon game of the week. I guess it's not Big Noon because it's on CBS. But Ohio State at Rutgers, Ryan. This is a sneaky, interesting game. But the Vegas doesn't seem to think it's going to be all that interesting. I thought it was going to be interesting. Over under is 42.5 with Ohio State favored by 18.5.
Kirk Shiraka off a bye gets the Ohio State University and that defense, which has propelled them to 8-0 outside of arguably potentially Heisman. I, you know, as a Heisman voter here, I can probably say as of right now, Marvin Harrison is likely to be on my ballot, but we'll see how that continues to change here over the next month. But Rutgers off a bye, Ohio State coming off. Again, everybody gets their best shot against Ohio State. I'm very skeptical that Kirk Soraka's offense can put up enough points against this Ohio State defense that has just been so, so good every single level. I would take Ohio State to cover here.
All right. That game will be on CBS. Again, that's 11 a.m. kick if you're in the central time zone. Now moving to BTN at 11 a.m., that's going to feature the Badgers visiting the Indiana Hoosiers after a safe Tim Allen is going to be able to, or Tom Allen, my bad. Wow, that was terrible.
Boy, you stop having stuff on the line and you can't even get the poor man's name right.
See if Tom Allen's team can finally get a Big Ten win. They're currently 0-5 in conference, 2-6 overall. The over-under for this game is 44.5. Wisconsin favored by 8.5, Ryan.
Do we know if Braylon Allen is playing yet as of Wednesday night here?
I don't. History would say no. But just like he often would... He'd often come up gimpy and then not play, or he would start the next game but never finish the next game. That's just going off memory purely.
Well, I'm very curious to see if he does not play, because, again, he exited the game against Ohio State, came out in a boot, didn't return, was in street clothes. What does Wisconsin's offense look like without Braylon Allen, without Ches Malusi, without Tanner Mordecai, which – I know that Braden Locke has been better than what I think many people would have anticipated, including myself. I think he's actually been above average. But if it's Jackson Acker getting the ball 30 times, I wonder if Tommy Allen finds a little bit of magic here in Memorial Stadium.
Ah, interesting. All right, so starting our final, I should say, 11 a.m. game will feature Michigan State playing host to the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska also is looking to become bowl eligible for the first time in a long time.
I believe. Like, if they were to achieve bowl eligibility, they're finally not the last team to, I think it was like 2017, 2018, they were last eligible. So good for you, Big Red.
Yeah. Under Matt Rhule in his first year. The over-under, Ryan, for this game is 34, with Nebraska being favored by 3. I would say Michigan State's struggling.
Vegas is trying to be really smart here with that line.
Yeah?
I mean, I asked Daniel House about it today, and, you know, House knows more about the X's and O's of football than I'll ever pretend to know.
Yeah.
And I go, do you know what the line is on Michigan State, Nebraska? And he goes, 8 or 9, and I go, Nebraska, 3. And he put his hands on his head and said, what in the world? Just like the innocent boy that he is. But I wonder what's going on here with this line. I wonder if they're thinking that they watched that Minnesota game last week and saw Michigan State continue to put up a fight. Maybe Michigan State turns to that true freshman quarterback. Mm-hmm. Michigan State's defense is pretty good. And I know Nebraska's offense is banged up. So I guess I understand the 3-point favoritism for the Huskers, but I am a little surprised it's not a little bit more.
All right. Maryland's going to play host to Penn State on Fox at a 2:30 kickoff. This over-under is 50.5 with Penn State favored by 8.5.
What are the chances Maryland loses out? Let me read you their schedule, okay? They're hosting Penn State this weekend. They travel to Lincoln next weekend. Then they're hosting Michigan at home before going to Piscataway. Already on a 3-game losing streak, I'll remind you.
Yeah. Like, unbelievable how the tides have turned. When they were 5-0, was there anybody – I mean, this was one of the teams we were higher on than anyone else outside of the top, you know, Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan, right? And now, having dropped 3, they are free-falling to your, like, is Mike Loxley going to keep his job?
Well, that was a question I posed because we looked up Mike Loxley's buyout. I think it's about what PJ's is at $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just precipitately, like, if they lose 7 straight to end the season – in the final year of Taulia Tagovailoa, who, oh, by the way, has 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a fireable offense if that happens, but let's see if Penn State can actually get back to playing good football too. I know that, you know, they hung with Ohio State, but they were horrible on third down, didn't look great up front. And then they just slept walk through the Indiana game last week. Mm-hmm. Let's see if Penn State can turn it on like they had been previously, because this is going to be essentially Maryland's backs are against the wall here.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk quickly about that game in Wrigley on Peacock. This will be a 2:30 kick. The over under is 30.5, with Iowa being favored by 5 points, Ryan.
I don't know what to think of Iowa this week. I mean, what does it look like offensively with the news that Beth Getz kind of hit Kirk Ferentz with a power play, the interim athletic director, former Minnesota interim athletic director as well, mm-hmm. Beth Getz. But she hits Kirk Ferentz with, I think, a little bit of a power play saying, Brian Ferentz isn't coming back. He's not going to be on the staff at all next year, which Ferentz had some thoughts for that on Tuesday, walked a little bit of them back here on Wednesday. But does the Iowa offense switch quarterbacks? Do they do anything different? I mean, Northwestern at least has a pulse, as we've seen. It's also just weird. It's at Wrigley. It's on Peacock. If there was ever a game to be on Peacock, it's Iowa Northwestern with one of the lowest totals in modern college football at 30. I think it's going to get weird here in Wrigley.
Have you paid attention at all to the fact that Northwestern currently is rotating wins and losses this season?
I have not.
So they've lost all of their
Look at their road home splits.
Yeah.
Where have they played a neutral site game? I guess technically this is home for them, but
yeah. But they're okay.
They have been much better in the state of Illinois, I'll say that.
They have
been anywhere else.
They have been. They also alternate. They've lost every odd game and they've won every even game. So history tells you that they're going to lose this game and then they're going to go and win at Wisconsin. So, this is a team that has a chance for bowl eligibility. They face Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, and Illinois. Two of those are on the road, one is at home against Purdue, and then you've got the neutral site game against Iowa. I mean, it's going to be an interesting end, and it's amazing that this team has a possibility to be bowl eligible as well.
If it's going to happen, it's got to start again this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then finally on NBC, Michigan is going to play host to Purdue.
Minnesota's next opponent,
yes,
who gets to go into the big house and take on Michigan. Godspeed.
The over-under for this one, Ryan, is 50.5 points, and Michigan is favored by 32.5.
I mean, for Purdue here, it's just trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because you have a couple Power 5 wins, but this schedule has not been kind to you in year one under Walters, and specifically, their lines have not been good. Now, who could have ever thought that Brick Haley's defensive line couldn't be playing well? I just don't imagine who that could be, but it's been the Purdue offensive line that has not been good. I'm wondering if Purdue gets more than 7 here. I'm wondering what it looks like for their quarterback, Hudson Card, who is, I think he's given them a fighting chance, but Michigan State's front 7, especially when they're getting signals.
You mean Michigan? Yes.
Yeah, excuse me. Michigan's front 7. It's just a different beast compared to anything anybody's played here in the Big Ten. So I don't feel many positive vibes here for Purdue.
Well, so Minnesota still holds the most points against Michigan. And Michigan's offense is over 45 points in their last 4 games, Ryan. I wonder if that streak will continue.
We'll have to find out.
All right. Again, want to thank everyone for listening. We're looking forward to yet again another week of Gopher football. We appreciate you listening. We're looking forward to breaking down this game as well. Again, please support our sponsors and hopefully have a great game day on Saturday, and go Gophers.